Word of mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. From cameras at traffic lights to the easy pass lane to dash cams, Big Brother is riding with us, whether we realize it or not. But just how much are drivers being monitored and who's benefiting from the surveillance? And is it worth trading in privacy for safety and convenience? Jamie Page Deaton is managing editor of U.S. News & World Report Best Car Rankings. She explores these questions in an article called How Big Brother Gets in Your Car. Jamie Page Deaton, great to have you back.
Thanks for having me.
So let's start with the most ubiquitous example. These are the traffic cameras. Advocates say they increase road safety. Critics say they are revenue generators for cities. How about privacy?
For privacy, you know, these traffic light cameras have a big impact on privacy because basically if you've got a network of cameras throughout a city, they can track where a car's going. And it used to be, you know, when these traffic cameras first came out, they would just take a picture of your license tag at a very specific spot on the road after you had, say, run a red light or, you know, made a right turn on red when you weren't allowed to. Today's cameras can actually pan and follow a car for over 100 yards. And then some cities are really getting into issues with privacy advocates over what they're using these cameras for because, again, it used to be they were just snapping a picture. Now they can provide live feeds to law enforcement. And, of course, we don't know how secure those feeds are. And, of course, civil liberties advocates and privacy advocates are saying, you know, law enforcement really shouldn't just be monitoring cameras unless they have a very good reason.
Wow. Well, you know, for people who are concerned about privacy online, they might use DuckDuckGo instead of Google, for example, or maybe use an encrypted phone. Is there any way to opt out of a traffic cam?
No, not really. I mean, there are a couple of aftermarket products, which I would not recommend at all, but there are supposedly sprays that you can put on your license tag that make it tough to read for a traffic camera. But beyond that, I mean, we're being surveilled everywhere you go. I mean, there are cameras in stores. There are cameras on sidewalks. And of course, this depends in large part on what city you live in. But this is something that you really can't opt out of because, you know, government has decided that the loss of privacy for the citizens is worth what is seen as an increase in safety and the ability to prevent and fight crime.
Let's talk a little bit more about insurance. Monitoring devices are being placed in cars. Tell us about the devices that car insurance companies actually are using to monitor driving habits.
Yeah, this is actually it's the main one is a program called Snapshot from Progressive. It's a small device that plugs into your car and it sends things to Progressive that lets them help determine your rate. So the way they market it as is that this is a device that if you're a safe driver, you should get a lower rate. And so it measures how hard you brake, how fast you accelerate, and in some cases will actually monitor your location. It also monitors how many miles you're driving. And it allows Progressive then to say, okay, well, this is somebody who drives fairly safely, so let's give them a lower rate. The issue with it is this could be hacked and the data could be sent elsewhere besides Progressive. And in some cases, Progressive admits that they are monitoring, you know, the geographic areas that people are driving in. Now, there have been no reported cases of Progressive, say, redlining somebody's insurance rates because they park their car, say, in an unsafe neighborhood overnight. But that's one thing that could the company could actually look into. The other issue is, you know, Progressive has a very long privacy statement on their website. They're obviously working very hard. They say, you know, to protect the user's privacy. But I mean, that's what Home Depot was doing. That was what Chase was doing. That's what Target was doing as well. These things are not invulnerable. And your data could essentially, you know, go out and be used by who knows who.
Well, it may tell you what kind of driver I am that I first thought, why would anyone put that in their car? But if you are a good driver, you would get a better rate. Yeah. There's an advantage there.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to save money on car insurance, I mean, and you want to, you know, use your good driving habits to make sure that you can get a deal, then yeah, it sounds like a great idea. But again, this is a fairly simple tracker. And I mean, it's probably not that far off from something, though, that you could actually buy and, say, monitor your teen's driving habits. Or for if you wanted to, say you wanted to monitor a romantic partner, see where they're going, you could possibly get a device like this and use it in their car.
Wowie. Well, perhaps the most unsettling case besides those of Big Brother monitoring has to do with the car lending industry. Now, what types of technologies devices are lenders using?
Lenders are using devices similar to the Progressive Snapshot device that not only monitors miles driven and things like that, but can actually immobilize and lock a car's engine if a person falls behind on their payments.
Wow, falls behind by how much?
Well, in some cases, they're getting a lot of complaints about these. In some cases, as late as 2 or 3 days.
Wow. So you'd go to start your car and it wouldn't start.
It wouldn't start at all. And now, these lending companies say that they have, you know, if you have an emergency, you can call them and get a code to start the car. A lot of users are saying this hasn't worked, and they've been trapped, say, with a sick kid and been unable to take it to the doctor because their car won't start. There have even been reports of the lending company shutting down the cars while they're in motion, which is, of course, incredibly unsafe. Now, of course, these lending companies and these companies that make these devices say that has never happened. However, they have settled out of court with people who have made those claims.
Is it legal? I mean, even repo men have to have 30 days until a loan falls into default, don't they, before repossessing a car?
Well, this is a gray area. They're not repossessing the car. They're just preventing you from using it. And so they see it as a very, you know, a big tool for them, making sure that they're getting their payments on time. And of course, you know, you talk about the repo man. The repo man used to have to go and find your car, which was expensive and time consuming. These devices shut down the car and say, "Hey, repo man, I'm parked over here on Main Street. Come pick me up."
Wow. Any efforts to regulate this?
Well, I mean, you know, this is like most issues of technology. The technology is way ahead of regulation. And so this is something that, you know, that different states are going to have to look into and figure out how they want to regulate it, if they want to regulate it at all.
I'm imagining this is just going to increase as we enter the era of the connected, you know, the era of the connected car to self-driving cars. Mm-hmm. Isn't that going to just up the ante for surveillance?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there is Mary Barra has an op-ed in The Washington Post today, and she was talking about how we need to really invest in vehicle-to-vehicle technology as well as vehicle-to-infrastructure technology if we want these self-driving cars. And vehicle-to-vehicle technology is basically a signal that your car is sending out saying, "Hey, here I am." The other cars can read that signal and say, "I'm over here too," and they can communicate. And then vehicle-to-infrastructure technology allows your car to communicate with traffic lights or you know, with the roadway so it can closely monitor you know, conditions and things like that. But you've got to think, if your car is constantly sending out a signal saying, "Hey, here I am," you are also sending out a signal saying, "I'm right here as well."
We think of the car maybe as a place to get into and get away to escape, you know, our world online. Do you think people are aware of how much they're actually being watched in their cars?
Probably not. No. Your car, I mean, unless you've got a very old car and you're not carrying your cell phone with you when you get in it, you are easily trackable. And I mean, even if you aren't carrying your cell phone and you are in an old car, you better stay off roads with EasyPass. You better stay off roads with cameras. And basically, you know, that's it. You are out and about. You are visible. You can easily be tracked with
your car.
So you
basically stay on country roads in New Hampshire. Are there any upsides, Jamie, of having Big Brother in your car?
There are some, actually. One of those is with the telematic system, which makes it, you know, easily for you to be found if in case of an accident. Now, these telematic systems, you know, OnStar is the one from GM. Hyundai has BlueLink. Mercedes has Embrace. All sorts of car companies are putting these in because of consumer demand. And not only do they allow, say, your car to be found if it's stolen, which is a huge help, but if you are in an accident and it senses that the airbags have gone off, it can automatically notify emergency responders, which, you know, if you're driving in a country road in New Hampshire, you spin out in the snow, you're incapacitated, you know, just looking for someone, that could take a couple of days for somebody to find you if you're really out in a remote area. But if the car's sending out a signal saying, "I've been in an accident, please send help, here's my exact location," you're going to get help a lot faster. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of people, that peace of mind is worth it.
And as you mentioned, for monitoring kids, for example.
Oh, Hyundai's BlueLink system is actually a teenager's worst nightmare. Kids, if your parents want to buy you a Hyundai, say maybe we'll pass on that. Because what they can do is they can set up a geographic fence so that if the car goes outside of a certain area, the owner gets an email or a text message. If it goes over a certain speed, mom and dad will know. So that's something that, you know, from a parenting perspective, well, that sounds pretty good. But, you know, from a privacy perspective and a kid's perspective, well, hey, that's kind of infringing on my rights a little bit.
Well, Jamie Page Seaton, thank you, I think, for letting us know what's going on. It's a little unsettling.
You're welcome.
Jamie Page Deaton, managing editor of U.S. News Best Car Rankings. You'll find a link to her article, "How Big Brother Gets in Your Car." It's at wordofmouthradio.org.